Bridge Los Angeles, KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo, a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Voted Station of the Year by our peers in American Public Music Radio.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender-expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
I'm afraid, it's 'cause I'm afraid. My very favorite songs by one of my biggest Shiros, Chrissy Hynde, and her Pretenders on Shiros Radio. Up the Neck, and wishing Chrissy Hynde a very happy 72nd birthday on Thursday, September 7th. Also brand new from Lorraine, we heard Pet Rock. Her third album has the kind of unsettling title, I Killed Your Dog. Super excited about this album. It arrives on October 13th. And with that, I welcome you to Shiros Radio. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It is so great to see you as always, as we turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. This week, our featured interview is with Polaris Prize nominee Debbie Friday, and that's coming up in the second part of the show. Chrissy Hynde shares a birthday with Gloria Gaynor, who turns 80 this year. Get ready to turn this up and sing along.
I just want won't let you in. You read the sign before, you can't come in. You cannot browse my eyes, I'm not open. And furthermore, you need to show, who is this stranger? Who is this mystery man? You ain't no neighbor, you ain't no friend. You are not welcomed inside, you cannot sit in. And furthermore, you need to show. If you wanna see inside of me, I'ma need to see your ID. Between my knees, I grab the things from out my store. But you're so dumb, you better know. You rather still and take what others work for. But I'm the only store that got what you need. But you gon' have to work for this girl. Hanging on the block, why not come inside? I bet so on the low, I know you got time. I know you won't ride the easy way down, but working for the will get the behind. Swiftly with the Jesus, case you're real quick. You about your face, my knees, you real drink. With your mixed cylinders, with the waist, your breast tank, baby. 50 feet, where's your 90? If you wanna see inside of me, I'ma need to see your ID.
Tank and the Bangas and No ID sending birthday wishes to Tariana Tank Ball. Her 35th is on Saturday, September 2nd. Also, a happy 80th birthday to Gloria Gaynor. Originally a B-side and then a huge number one hit. Not to mention a lasting ode to female empowerment, I Will Survive, that came from Gloria's sixth album, 1978's Love Tracks, marking its 45th anniversary this year, by the way. I'm Carmel Holt, and stay with us. Next, it's a Shiro's Conversation with Polaris Prize nominee Debbie Friday.
Download the SoCal Sound mobile app and listen wherever life takes you.
You can build branding and awareness for your business while supporting this awesome radio station. How cool would it be to have your organization be the sponsor for Nick's Pick of the Day, or my 88.5 album dive, or how about a live one with Andy Chanley? Give us a call for more info. 818-677-7163. That's 818-677-7163.
Devendra Banhart brings the Flying Wig World Tour 2023 to the Belasco on December 7th. Thanks to our friends at Live Nation, the SoCal Sound is your chance to go. You can find contest rules and enter to be eligible to win a pair of tickets at thesocalsound.org. No purchase necessary. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. Devendra Banhart, the Belasco, December 7th. Ay, tus ojos colorados, azul y anaranado, amarillo y verde y marrón.
Mi amor envuelto en mi corazón. From our open minds to your open ears. 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. We've just flipped the calendar to September, and on the 19th, Canada's annual Polaris Prize will be announced. Founded in 2006, the Polaris is Canada's equivalent of the Mercury Prize, which is awarded to the best full-length Canadian album based on artistic merit. Now, because we're here to talk inclusion in all aspects of the music industry on She Rose, here's some numbers. Feist was the first woman to take home the prize in 2012, and in its 16 years, though many have been nominated, only six women have won so far. Feist, Tanya Tagaq, Buffy St. Marie, Lito Pimienta, Havaya Mighty, who became the first black woman and the first rapper ever to win the award in 2019, and Backwash, who became the first trans woman to win in 2020. This year, the Montreal-born, Toronto-based artist and producer Debbie Friday could become the third queer black woman to win the prestigious prize. As a teenager, Debbie Friday was deep in the Montreal rave and club scene and started DJing, but inspired by all of the musicians and artists she was exposed to, Debbie taught herself how to produce music herself, releasing her debut EP, Bitch Punk, in 2018, followed quickly by her second self-produced EP, Death Drive, in 2019. A self-described child of the internet, Debbie dove deep into music discovery on SoundCloud, gathering influences from punk to techno to rock and roll and everything in between. Fast forward to 2023, she brings it all together on her genre-bending full-length debut, Good Luck, which arrived in March to critical acclaim. This time, she shared production duties with Juno Award and Polaris Prize nominated composer and producer Graham Walsh. Good Luck was among 40 albums longlisted for the Polaris in June and then made it to the shortlist of 10 albums in July. It's an exciting moment to welcome Debbie Friday as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Debbie Friday, welcome to Shiro's. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your full-length debut album.
Thank
you. Good luck. So for those not familiar with Debbie Friday, where did all this begin for you?
Yeah, so as far as where it all began, when I first started getting into music, it was through DJing and partying and nightlife culture. And that was in Montreal, which is where I grew up. And through that, I kind of explored a little bit. I DJed for under a year, but it really exposed me to this side of music, but more importantly, the side of creative industry that I had never had any reference point for before. And I had an experience that I always call like my nervous breakdown, but it was really like a time in my life where essentially, you know, when all those structures in your life kind of disappear and they disintegrate, and it's because you're supposed to build something new. And so I ended up quitting nightlife, quitting DJing and everything. And then I taught myself how to produce using YouTube tutorials and just like internet articles, like whatever I could find online. And from there, I made my first EP.
That was Bitch Punk, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that first EP and what you wanted us to hear, what you were saying about becoming an artist, stepping into this zone.
I think with my first EP, I just wanted to prove to myself that I could do this, that I could make music. And so with that EP, I really just put everything I had into it. I kind of just went off of pure instinct. And I was in a really angsty place, which I think is reflected on the record, but also a lot of the like harsher electronic sounds reflected a part of my personality that's still present today. But, you know, I'm rough around the edges and I could be a very like in your face type of person. And I feel like all of those aspects, especially of my younger self, are like in that record. And Bitch Punk holds a really special place in my heart just because it was my first musical project. And it was the one that really changed my life. It changed everything for me.
Obviously, it's so near to your heart. It even has a place on this new album, Good Luck. You hear it mentioned in the lyrics.
Yeah.
Let's start with a song. Where do you want to take us today as kind of an entry point for Good Luck?
Okay, in honor of Bitch Punk, maybe let's play Pluto Baby.
I love this one. Is there anything you want to tell us about the song before we play a clip of it?
Yeah, so Pluto Baby is like one of the last songs that I wrote for the record, and it came out of a place of pure inspiration. I was in the studio, I had finished recording and mixing the other tracks, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to make another song. And then Graham was my co-producer. We just sat down and Puto Baby is what came out, and it was so fun to make, and it's one of my favorite songs to perform, and it's just got like this flair. It's definitely got like a bitch punk vibe.
Pluto baby, no halo in my circle. Kaki Kokaitis, I'm cold as the ninth inferno. It's for certain I leave hurting, but I'm not hurtful. Said my love is a black hole. Little lady, where you going with that body buzzing, body hugging? I give to I owe you nothing. Don't come for me. I love him and I leave him be. I said no comfort for your company. It's Miss Friday, but only if you're nasty like that, and only if you ask me like that. Link, link, link. I said I'm sicker than Lazarus. Back from the dead, I'm so f***ing hazardous. Big Debbie, I make you my fan and my witness. Too heavy, I give you a taste of religion. This is my body, this is my blood. I make it rain, baby, I make it flood.
Debbie Friday here with us on She Rose, and the new album, her full-length debut, is called Good Luck. It's out now on Sub Pop Records. I'm Carmel Holt. The bitch punk vibes that we were referring to is a callback to the debut EP, which came out in 2018. Those of you that have already gotten into Debbie Friday, you should definitely dig back and listen to those first two EPs. What do you hear in terms of continuum from bitch punk to death drive to Good Luck?
I think I became more cohesive as a musician, which I'm really proud of. It's something that's important to me and something that I want to continue to develop. I just became more solid as a person and a little bit less opaque. I think in my first two projects, there was still this wall between myself, my creativity, and the audience. I didn't really feel necessarily like safe enough to be super vulnerable. Whereas on Good Luck, I definitely opened up so, so, so much.
What do you attribute that to?
I think just life, getting older, you know, you have different experiences and, you know, you meet people, they change you, all of that stuff. Like, it's stuff that anyone would go through. But I think also I did make a conscious effort when I was making Good Luck to make something that was more vulnerable. I wanted listeners and my fans to kind of be able to get to know me on a more intimate level.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've been talking to a lot of artists, you know, in this time of coming out of the pandemic and music that was made during the pandemic, and vulnerability is a very common word that I'm hearing from artists. And that's such a beautiful thing. I think that's one of the silver linings of that time and art made during that time, is that it really broke down some of our barriers. And I think for women and for queer folks, I feel like it gave us a space that perhaps we didn't have before, that maybe made us feel a little bit safer to do so. I don't know. I wanted to explore that with you. Do you think that there was anything there from that angle that helped you be more vulnerable and reveal more to us?
In a way, I can see that for sure, just because, you know, everyone had to spend time with themselves and we were very isolated. Like, you couldn't just get together with your friends and family and just see people. It's so funny to think about now, just because I feel almost like it was like a fever dream or something. Like,
yeah,
it was so intense. It was really like an intense experience. So maybe that's part of it. Yeah, I don't think I've fully like reconciled what the pandemic even was yet.
I don't know that I have an answer either. I'm just, you know, noticing as I'm having these conversations where there's commonalities between themes that are coming up and the type of records that are being made from all different genres and all different people. Speaking of genre, I wanted to read this quote, and I think this was going back to bitch punk, actually. I'm an aggressive woman, so my music is aggressive. I live in a world that is aggressive towards my identities and the body that I inhabit. So, of course, my reaction is going to be aggression. And then you went on to say there's a whole stigma around being an angry, queer, black woman. I'm just really tired of it, and it's very unnuanced. Is there a carryover of any of that into Good Luck? And is there any of those feelings that are present still, or is that of the past and you've moved through it?
Yeah, that specific interview, I get asked about that often. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, that's just not the way that I think these days. I have changed my mind about a lot of things, and I would use totally different words. And I think the context is just so different. And no, I don't think there's any of that on Good Luck. Good Luck is just like, I'm a different person now than I was when I was first talking about those things. And like, that was my, I think my first interview that I ever did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. It was like the first thing I ever did for a publication. And yeah, I think now I have just a totally different perspective on things. It just doesn't apply anymore in that way.
Well, can we talk about what your perspective is now?
Yeah. Anything.
The things that you were addressing in that way then, how do you feel about them now?
Yeah, I think that now, well, first of all, it's like I don't see myself as angry anymore. So it's like even that way that I would characterize myself is just not applicable. Also, I just don't really feel like I concern myself with the projections of the world anymore at all. It got to the point where it was exhausting, honestly. And now where I am and just the way that I move through things, for me, it's like other people's problems are not my problems. Like other people's projections are not my projections. And I don't have to use those words or those ideas when thinking about myself. And I can make up my own mind and I can, you know, see the world in my own way. And that is just as valid as anything else. I think now I just like think a lot more freely, and with that freedom has come peace, is what I want to say.
That's amazing. Debbie Friday here with us on She Rose. The new album is called Good Luck. Why don't you take us to another track, maybe one that you feel the most proud of from a production standpoint? Was there any song on this album that you felt really pushed your edges and you felt like you were able to get to a new level with?
Yeah, let's play So Hard to Tell. So Hard to Tell is probably the most different song that I have written, but definitely took me out of my comfort zone.
So Hard to Tell, gorgeous track from Debbie Friday's new album, Good Luck. She's here with us on She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. I was curious about your musical background, even though you said you came up as a DJ. I love your singing and all of your vocal stylings. Like, was there anything that influenced you that you can look back and go, oh yeah, that's probably where I got that from?
Well, I'm definitely a child of the internet, so it's kind of like a little bit of everything. Growing up, you could look up whatever you wanted and you just had access to pretty much like not the entirety of like human musical archives, but quite a lot of it. And so I kind of picked up things from everywhere. And I think that's also why my music just has this hybrid quality and this hybrid sound to it. And it's because the influences really are from everywhere.
You're from Nigeria originally. Was there any Nigerian music when you were growing up?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. What did you grow up hearing?
Well, for my parents, like two of their favorite artists were Fela Kuti and King Sunny Ade. And we would listen to them all the time. Like they would love to play the music out loud, especially like on Sundays when, you know, you're like off school and stuff and they're off work. And so they'd play a lot of Nigerian music, a lot of gospel music at home.
I remember talking to Santi Gold about Fela Kuti. She was saying how what made that music so important in her household was that it wasn't just Fela's music, but it also became the springboard for conversation, you know, about the state of the world and about politics. Did it ever prompt any conversation along that line in your household?
I think it was just already a natural thing just because mm-hmm. Nigerian culture, you know, people talk about things like they love to get together over food and to talk about the world, especially the men. They always have an opinion on politics and whatever is happening. And also being in diaspora, I was born in Nigeria, but I grew up in Montreal, and there was like a small Montreal Nigerian community, but not really huge or anything. But yeah, people would just get together and I would see my parents like talking with their friends. It was just normal part of everyday life. It wasn't necessarily connected to the music, but you know, when they would tell me about these artists and stuff, because it was my family that told me about Fela Kuti and King Sunny Ade, they would talk about their lives and stuff, because back then as well, there was very few international superstar musicians in that way. And I believe like Fela Kuti was like one of the first ones to really break beyond the boundaries of Nigeria and become such an international sensation like that. Nowadays, it's a lot more common. Like we see a lot of like Afrobeats artists and stuff like Tems and Wizkid and Skepta and stuff like that.
Have you ever wanted to collaborate with any of those artists? Is there any desire? Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Of course.
I was thinking that maybe we could go to another track here. And I was wondering whether there was any song on this album that you felt would be speaking to the female or queer experience.
Nothing in particular, because I'd say the album's so personal. But if I had to choose a song to play, I'd probably play What a Man. First of all, it's like one of my favorite songs on the album. Like, I'm so proud of that one. And it has this like rock and roll flair to it, but in this way that I feel like is almost like a modern take on rock and roll, which I love. Like, I love the genre, and there's a lot of rock and roll legends that have influenced me so much, like Little Richard, Sherry Curry, Joan Jett, these types of people. Like, I love their music, and so I can see like the links and the lineages in there with the song.
Friday here with us on She Rose. That's What a Man from the amazing new album called Good Luck. It must be feeling so good to be seeing so much amazing press on this album. Talk to us about what it's felt like to have it out in the world.
The biggest thing has been a sense of relief, 100%, because it's been a long time coming. Like, I spent almost 2 years essentially just prepping for this moment. Like, it took me 2 years to write the album, write the film, record everything, you know, do everything I needed to do for the release. And so it feels like finally.
Yeah. I mean, the film is amazing too, and your visuals are incredible. Is that another thing that you self-taught, how to do videography?
Yeah, in a way, self-taught, but also I was very lucky in that I lived in Vancouver for 4 years after I left Montreal. And when I was in Vancouver, I was able to just meet people who were working in film and who I was able to like collaborate with, and also in particular like learn from them. And they taught me so much. I'm so grateful for my time in Vancouver because of that. Like, it was invaluable. It was almost like a crash course film school education, but just really hands-on. Cool. So I was really lucky in that regard, and I learned so much from them. Like, in particular, Ryan Ermacora is someone that I worked with a lot while I was there, and he works on film as well. Like, he only shoots on film. And so I feel like I even got even more out of that, because shooting on film is its own thing versus shooting on digital. So I learned a lot while I was in Vancouver. And then when I moved out here to Toronto and I shot the short film, so Good Luck, the short film, that was another experience as well of like learning and going through this process that was almost, I would call it like boot camp in a way. But yeah, I am a hands-on learner. When it came to film, it was just like, just diving in straight ahead and you just figure it out as you go.
Are there any artists in your family? Like, can you trace this back anywhere? Music or the visual art?
No, like nobody, not even, I'm thinking even my extended family, like no one is in the arts at all. Everyone's like doctors or engineers, like very typical like immigrant dream. There's no one that I can think of that's in the arts. But, you know, my siblings and I were creative. Like my sister's into fashion, another sister, she's into illustration and music. And yeah, but no one's like in the arts. We are not an industry family at all.
What things have you learned being in the, I'm putting this in air quotes, in the industry as a woman in music thus far?
Yeah. Well, one thing I can definitely say that I've learned is that I'm grateful that I am an autodidactic learner, but I'm also grateful that I have all these skills to take with me. So for example, I always say, if you are a woman in music, just learn how to produce. Learn the basics of music production, because it's going to save you so much time and headache. And it's just like gives you an advantage in the sense of having that basic understanding gives you so much more power and agency when it comes to your work. You don't have to be the best producer in the world. You just have to like know how the DAWs, like one of the programs, work. Even if you just know how to like do your own vocal comping or something like that, it just gives you so much more power. And so I would say that's something I've learned, is just like learning where you can like have your power so you can have your agency. And once again, I think I'm very lucky because I was naturally inclined to picking up those skills. Like those are things like I was already interested in, and that's where I started from. When it came to music, I was like, well, I'm going to learn how to produce. Like I wanted to do that. So now that I have those, like I can see how valuable those skills have been in my career and just like in getting me to where I am now.
Yeah. And you produced this entire album. So amazing. People must be asking you all the time, like, so who did you work with? Who produced your record?
Sometimes. Yeah. But yeah. I think because I've also produced my last two projects, I think most people know, but when they ask me, like, I like saying that, yeah, I produced it. Yeah,
definitely. And we need more women producers. You know, the numbers 100%. Are still so low. Like in the United States, I think it's like still hovers around 2 or 3%.
I remember reading that and I was shocked.
Any ideas about what we can do to move the needle on that?
I think one thing, you know, in certain cases, I do think like representation is useful, because when you see someone else doing it, you get the feeling like, oh, well, if they can do it, I can do it too. At least that's the way that I think. It's like, okay, like she's there, she's doing her thing. Like if she can do it, I can figure out something for myself. And so I think it helps in that sense. But I also think, you know, just get around people who are like doing the things you want to do. Just follow your impulse. I feel like if we taught more young people that your impulses, that's your compass for your life, like what you are drawn to, that's your intuition speaking to you. It's like giving you a clue about what it is that you're meant to do in this world. And so you should follow that. Don't doubt yourself.
That's really, really important and such good words. And I was curious when you said representation, oh, I saw them doing that. That made me think I can do that. Was there anybody for you on the production side?
Yeah, I would say definitely, especially when I think of my like university years, I was really into like a lot of online music communities and like just online music. So I came across women like, for example, like Abra or The Buttress or Sevdaliza, and even there was like the SoundCloud era, I want to call it, like this like golden years of SoundCloud, where it was a lot of just ordinary people like posting their music to SoundCloud, and it would be just like the most futuristic, like interesting and complex music that I hadn't heard before. And so I got so much inspiration from these musical communities and just from the people that were part of these communities. Like I'm even thinking of like very, very early hyperpop, like when Sophie and Arca were just bubbling on SoundCloud and stuff, and even like early Tumblr days, things like that. Yeah.
The other thing that we talk about on Shiro's is image and your visuals. It's all just so beautifully thought out and presented. What's your opinion about being sexualized or being objectified as women in music?
So when it comes to that, it's like I understand why some women make the choices that they do. Like, I'm not going to judge other people's decisions that they make to navigate this industry, because, you know, it's real. Like, being a woman in music, it's real. There are things that do get in the way. There's all these like preconceived notions you have to deal with. And there's like certain standards that were set during a time where women were straight up just not respected in their own right as musicians. And so I never judge what anyone is going to choose to do or not to do. When it comes to that, I think for me, it's always just about having as much space as possible so that you can show up the way that you want to show up. The thing that's the most important is that you're able to feel like, okay, I can authentically represent myself and I can authentically like explore the ideas I want to explore. And it doesn't really matter necessarily like, oh, is this too sexual or is it not too sexual? Like, what's important is like having the space to do that on your own terms, right? So you're the one that's making the decision. You're the one that's deciding. And that's it. Like, that's all you can ask for, is just to have that autonomy. Once again, coming back to this idea of like autonomy and power, that is what is most important to me.
Debbie Friday, thank you so much for being with us on She Rose. You had so many good things to say, and I am so excited that you're here, literally here, doing it and representing, and I'm sure that you've already inspired so many others. You know, it's exciting.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can you choose one more song for us to take us out?
Yeah, let's play I Got It, because that's a really fun song, and I love that song.
Don't try so hard, it don't impress, it don't affect me. Don't go too far, just come correct, don't you neglect me. No soy difícil de complacer, solo ponte de rodilla. Espera allí hasta que yo diga que te levantes. Lo tengo.
With thanks once again to Debbie Friday. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Many thanks once again to Debbie Friday for being with us. The Polaris Prize nominated full-length debut, Good Luck, is out now on Sub Pop Records. Next, we close the hour with a guest DJ pick from this week's Radio Shiro, Cindy Howes of WUNC Music and the Basic Folk Podcast, when Shiro's Radio continues.
Hey, it's Andy Chandler. I do afternoons 2 to 6 on the SoCal Sound. In radio, they call that drive time because lots of folks are headed home from work, but let's be real. In Southern California, it's always drive time. So make me co-pilot. I'll DJ seemingly endless up-tempo music sets that are nearly an hour long, including brand new tracks, great songs from the past the corporate radio's forgotten or never had the guts to play in the first place, and local spotlights every hour. And thanks for letting me ride along on 88.5, the SoCal Sound.
I am a passenger, and I ride, and I ride.
It's She Rose Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. Wednesday, September 6th, Dolores O'Riordan, the frontwoman of the Cranberries, would have been 52. Their debut album, Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We, marked its 30th anniversary this year, and this is the first song I ever heard by the Cranberries, and I think it's still my favorite.
Thank you.
So if that debut album marked its 30th anniversary this year, that means that Dolores O'Riordan would have been 22 when it came out. We're marking what would have been her 52nd birthday on Wednesday the 6th. I'm Carmel Holt, and each week I love to close the hour by turning the mic and the music over to a fellow Radio Shiro from one of our affiliates. And this week, it's Cindy Howes of WUNC Music in the Triangle, North Carolina, and host of the Basic Folk Podcast.
Today, I want to share a song from one of the best debut albums I've heard in a while, from Nina DeVitri, who is originally from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and currently based in Nashville. Her new album, What You Feel Is Real, is a lovely fusion of jazz and folk. Nina grew up surrounded by musicians, including her older sister, Maya DeVitri, who has excellent solo music, as well as her time with the Straybirds. We're going to hear Nina's song, Being With Myself. It's a song about getting back to the self. And Nina says, I hope this song can remind people to slow down and prioritize the things that make them feel whole. You're going to love it. It's very Nora Jones, Amy Winehouse vibes. Let's hear it. Nina DeVitri, Being With Myself.
Sun across the face, she keeps her eyes closed. Arms stretch around, she wiggles her toes. Breathes for a moment, a morning amen. I think I could learn how to say that again. Rinses the sleep till it disappears. Softens her eyes, looks in the mirror. Smiles and straightens herself where she stands. I think I could learn how to do that again. Body forgives her for things that she said. I know I could learn how to hear that again. I know it's hard when I'm
Being With Myself by Nina DeVitri, a guest DJ pick from this week's Radio Shiro, Cindy Howes of WUNC Music in the Triangle, North Carolina, and host of the Basic Folk Podcast. And that does it for this week's show. Thanks to you for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the Shiro's Podcast, featuring our Shiro's interviews on the Talkhouse Podcast Network, available everywhere, and stay in touch. Visit shirosradio.com. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at Shiro's Radio on Instagram and Twitter. And until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1, Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1, Mission Viejo. A service of California State University, Northridge, and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
I was born across the tracks. I am a poor man's son. Yes, I'm a poor boy, born to play the blues. Yes, I'm a poor boy, born to play the blues.